very good Friday morning. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebeck.com. Rainy upstate New York, and I was going to make the little, clever comment, we'd be off the turf today at Saratoga. Well, we're mostly off the turf downstate, too. It rained here yesterday from, 4 o'clock. I was up very early this morning, 2:30, and it was still raining. I mean, we can gauge it by how much water we get in the basement. it's not a wet basement, but when there's heavy rain, it gets into the basement. I think through the Bilco doors. So they're off the turf except for the stake today at Big A, the Big B at the Big A. Yeah, the stake, though, stays on. That's a 6-furlong outer turf sprint for the 3-year-old fillies in the Glen Cove. We could also call it the Aunt Florence. My Aunt Florence, my mother's sister, lived in Glen Cove for years. Roslyn Harbor, really, technically. And for those of you, here's a great little sort of trivia question. And as it's not even really a question, because those of you that know what I'm going to say, or the minute I say it, you're going to make the association. Stratomatic, right? The mailing address when you would, I went to the office and bought Seasons. Were they in Glen Cove or were they in Glen Head? I think they were in Glen Cove. And I'm almost positive. Yeah, Stratomatic. You would send away for the cards for the Seasons. In fact, I've got God knows how many Stratomatic Seasons. And Tina, at some point, we were doing something in the back room downstairs, and she says, "Well, these can be thrown out." I said, "What do you mean? What is that?" So she opens up the shoebox, and it's all the Stratomatic cards. I mean, I probably have, $600 worth of Stratomatic Seasons and the old-timers. I loved getting the old-timer Seasons and the all-star teams and stuff. So I said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "No, we're not throwing that away." She goes, "When was the last time you played this?" I said, That's not important. When's the last time I played it? I got a grandson. It's his birthday this week. We're going tomorrow to Rochester. It's for his first birthday. He's going to play Stratomatic, whether he likes it or not. Right? The kid. Could you imagine? Could you imagine dragging a kid and trying to say, "All right, here's what you do: you roll these dice, and then you look on the card, and they're gonna think you have two heads." There's kids out there. How many of you? I need answers on Twitter. I need answers. how many of you have taught your children and your children's children the pleasures of Stratomatic, filling in the score sheet? God, I mean, do kids even know how to fill in a score sheet? Baseball scoring. Unbelievable. Well, here we are in the weeds already, 3 minutes in, and Bick's off the rails. Stratomatic somehow, because of the Glen Cove today. It just shows you how little it takes to throw me off. I've got the attention span of in fact, our 1-year-old grandson. And speaking of which, actually, I don't know if... No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. I don't know if it's been... I guess I shouldn't say anything. Anyway, the Glen Cove is staying on the turf. The other three races, I think there's three others that were scheduled for grass, right? The third, the fifth, and the ninth. Third and the fifth and the ninth come off the turf. All right? There are MTOs, actually. In the third, there's three MTOs. That was an overflow field, three and ups, New York breds. So they'll go a mile. There was one, they made one adjustment, I think, on distance, for those of you worrying about that. Let me see. There was one adjustment. Naira, there we go. Ninth race will be run at 1 mile. It was scheduled for a mile and 1/16. That's the one distance change. Otherwise, the mile and 3/16, fifth race, which is a second level allowance. Some interesting horses there. Largent showed up in that spot, as well as Shoddy, 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 and Mooney Love for Mott. That actually was a very good race on turf. Anyway, that's that. So New York off the turf today, and except for the stake. The stake's pretty good. Three-year-old fillies led by Poppy Flower for Mott down inside. Sail by in there for Leah Giamatti. How about Half is Enough for Trombetta. Zelda, Christophe Clement. A little surprised that there wasn't something from, there's nothing from Chad Brown in here, which is a tiny bit surprising. All right, so that's the news on New York today. Hopefully the weather cleared out and we'll be okay for tomorrow. Nick Tamaro at 11 o'clock this morning. We'll do New York. We haven't had a chance to talk New York with Nick. Of course, Monday he joined us. We had a nice conversation about, in general, sort of Breeders' Cup previewing. I'm sure with Nick's visit, we will have to also revisit his fascinating experience with the morning line making at Keeneland, where if a horse goes off and takes money. In fact, we'll talk in a minute when Marty gets here, 10 minutes. Actually, just a few minutes, less than 10, until Marty joins us to start talking Keeneland. It's unbelievable. The reaction to these morning lines, and you know, people don't take anything into consideration. I mean, if a horse scratched, that changes the complexion of things. And yesterday, for instance, Nick had, the line was seemingly, right on the money, literally. And, nobody came back and said, oh, Nick did a great job. No, if a horse, that's 12-1 goes off at 7-2, there's going to be those, there's going to be those mojo horses that there's a story behind or, some sort of a tip, workout stuff, the sheets contribute, especially with the maiden races where, money flows in certain directions. And actually today, speaking of which, when we'll get Marty in here momentarily, there's a very interesting, I wrote it up. I've got to just make a decision on the 10th race. But it's a very fun sequence today. Again, I mean, the racing's been tough. It's been contentious, but that's part of the appeal, right? That's what you want. At least we say we want it, right? Big fields and contentious. There's a maiden group, going a mile and 1/16 on the turf, the 7th today, and I've got a 15-1 on top, and I'm using a 30-1. It to me, it's a very open group that has got huge potential for explosions. Marty said yes. My answer to Marty is yes. Go ahead and call him, Case, because he's got apparently. Last week we went long with Marty, so he needs us to be kind of sharp today. So we will talk about yesterday's result and yesterday's big maiden winner. But I do want to touch on a few of these Friday races and get his opinions. We'll also hear, of course, from Scott Shapiro and from James Scully. So that sets the Keeneland stage, and I'll just put this aside for Marty. Jay Privman, did I say Priv was? Yeah, Priv was going to check in. We're going to get our first post-retirement visit with Jay Privman, see how he's keeping busy. Shapiro and Scully, as mentioned. Nick will check in with Hammer. We didn't get a chance to talk to Rick last week. Popo, in hour three, we'll get some plays from Popo, see what he picked out for the form to win targets. And there's plenty of interesting racing. To consider, Woodbine. I actually, I didn't reach out to Ron, but I should have, and maybe I still will. Ron Gierkink, there's some very good racing at Woodbine. And even today, by the way, while we wait for Mart, I should mention there's a bunch of stakes today. In addition to that Glen Cove, be aware, the White Clay Creek, which we talked about with Graham Motion, Graham's live in there at Delaware. Of course, the Sycamore, which we're going to talk about. And at the Meadowlands, although, you know, my concern is if New York is off the turf, the Meadowlands, you know, where, I mean, it's almost always off the turf. But the Born to Run for three-year-olds, supposed to turf sprint five furlongs today. The Louisiana Jewel today and the Legacy tomorrow at Delta, another Friday-Saturday pair of stakes. And there was someplace else. Woodbine, as mentioned. Woodbine has got the Frost King and the South Ocean today. These are Ontario-ish, I think, restricted type things. So there we go. And I guess I should mention one more time. Far Hills. So let's clear this wet weather out, and let's see how things are shaping up for tomorrow. Is Marty here? No, he would have said, Bick. Okay. So no Marty yet. There's Marty now. Marty, good morning. Yo.
What's happening, Bick?
I know we got sharp timing today, so let me first get to yesterday's result, and most notably the result in that maiden race where it looks like we've got another hat in the ring for up-and-comer. I know some people were being circumspect regarding the competition in that seventh race at Keeneland yesterday, seven furlongs for the two-year-olds. Well, Extra Anejo, I don't think you have to be suspect about his effort. 92 buyer I posted overnight, Marty.
Yeah, after that horse won about an hour later, I kept thinking about it, how awesome it was. I don't know why I took a video of it, put it on Twitter. I don't normally do that, but they got to the 5/16th point. I'm like, I better get my camera out for this one because this horse is really impressive. And so about an hour after the race, I texted Steve. I said, after that, we got to talk in the morning. So we did. About 7 o'clock during the break, he called me back and said he couldn't be more excited about him. I wrote a piece, it's either being the Sunday editions or online soon, about his plans for him. He's thinking about maybe one of those allowances on the second Stars of Tomorrow at Churchill, which would be November 26th. But he's not going to, paint himself in the corner with that. He'll get him back to the track in a few days, let him see what he's like. But, overall, he was a $1.35 million yearling purchase. They've always had high hopes for him, the whole Laredo. He was the best down there, et cetera, et cetera. And Steve said anybody who's been around, he was not surprised at what happened yesterday. So the horse just, absolutely galloped. And so there he is, another fill-in. I wrote that Steve doesn't rebuild, he reloads. So he, he's going to lose Jackie's Warrior. I assume Clarier also, this will be her last race in the Distaff. So here he's got another. This one's an Into Mischief. A lot of them for Steve have been the gun runners. But whichever way you can get there, he's excited about this one.
Well, this one, it's interesting, is out of the Hardspun Mare Superiority Complex, bred by Mount Brilliant. And clearly, well purchased for that number. I know that in the wake of the yearling sale season, people love to say, well, how many of these seven-figure horses amount to anything? Well, looks like this one is going to amount to something. You know who is now 0-2, actually, that was a big price that we should mention? Juan Valdez, who appropriately came out of the instant coffee race.
That's good.
It was the greatest thing ever. You couldn't make that up if you tried. But Juan Valdez came back with a 7/8 again yesterday, and you know, kind of ran an in, just sort of a middling, you know, kind of went about it, you know, circled the, you know, the racetrack and didn't really put in an effort. So, I think Shug's probably going to look to two turns with him, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a, you know, a little bit of time before we see him. He may need to grow up a little bit, Juan Valdez.
Yeah, you could tell all that, about the half-mile pole, maybe a little bit after that, the Pletcher horse was all out to keep up with the Asmussen winner. So you knew they were all running for second. I really wasn't. I was just kind of in awe of the winner.
Big time. Extra Anejo. And, boy, it's amazing, the Winchell.
What does that mean, Vic? I didn't even ask Steve. I looked it up.
It's funny.
Go ahead.
Is
it kind of fancy tequila or something?
Oh, is that right?
Well, I don't know. If you look up the wiki definition, it's I think it might be a cultural thing about Anejo is some kind of special, either tequila or rum. I think tequila.
It's a vintage.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a vintage.
What would extra vintage mean then?
Extra vintage, extra old, I guess,
okay.
To some degree.
Okay.
You know? We'll check with DJ. In fact, DJ Fisk, if you're listening, let us know the impetus for calling this one Extra Anejo. It looks like a good one. So, the rest of that action yesterday, you had the 2-5 shot win for Brian Lynch and Silverton Hill. I should mention Static Fire, sort of as anticipated. Same thing with the allowance win for Graham Motion. Another Graham. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but you know, Graham Motion gave out, you know, so far I think 3 out of 4 wins and 1 second from his visit the other day.
Yeah, that's all. People are just going to now ask. It's the opposite of what Elliot used to tell me he would do. People ask, you like this horse, Graham? You like this horse, Graham? Hey, Graham, you like this horse? And Elliot said to give him 4 or 5 loses in a row, and they quit asking. So, you know, Graham's just asking for it.
Well, I don't want people coming up to him. The big winner from the other the big winner from the other day was Script, and it was funny because whenever I have the trainers on, it's my, you know, it's sort of my system where after we talk about the winners from whatever they won, I'll ask him about maidens generally. I want to learn something about the first time starters or second timers or, you know, turf movers or whatever, and so I asked him about one that was running, you know, either the same day or I think at Delaware maybe, yeah. And then I went to a couple other maidens, and he then said to me, "You skipped right over Script." When a trainer says that,
yeah.
When he's bringing up a horse unprompted, that's all you need to know.
I hear you.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That Yazzer? All right.
Yes.
That was yesterday.
What we got going here?
Let's do this. I want to ask you about today a couple of spots because I thought that today's card again is, you know, these cards have been so deep and contentious, very difficult to put pick 5 tickets together. Let's talk about the maiden group, Marty, and I'm curious what you did in the 7th, going a mile and a 16th. Are we're okay for grass?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they were calling it good yesterday. I thought it was – I had listed it as firm, unknowing. But you know who I got in there, Steve, in race 7 today? It's the filly who's named for Callie Witt, the young lady that died in April from the training accident.
Yes.
Number 1, Callie's Grit, trained by Joe Sharp, for whom Callie worked. If you put a line through that yielding race on that was actually the race that was running a horrible rainstorm, and then they called off the races there at Kentucky Downs.
That's
on
right.
Saturday the 3rd. Go back to the previous race, she was a real good second at Saratoga to a next out winner, and so I got her added on top.
Huh. All right. I thought that this was a real curiosity, this group, and that there was a million potential options, including some prices. And there's two pedigrees, Mart, in this race that are screaming turf mover. And let's start with Paint Me Perfect for Bob and Luana Lowe and Steve Margolis. And you probably remember that dam, the Kitten's Joy, Cabela. This is the third generation homebred from this family, and it goes back to one of the Lowe's first major horses, probably their first major horse, period, Capote Bell. And there's been three generations now that have been produced by their breeding, and this is the latest. Cabela, the Kitten's Joy Dam, she was a minor turf. I think she won the Black Cat Lacombe, one of those kinds of stakes down at Fairgrounds. So she's got every reason, this Paint Me Perfect, to be okay on the grass, 15-1. Then I'll give you a crazy horse, American Odalisk. This is the 10 horse from Kayo Karamori, and this is an American Pharoah out of the Wakaiva Springs mare, Marry Me in Spring, who was completely turf. So this one is bred up and down for the grass, is 30-1 with the Sean Parker, has got a start under her belt, and has every license to be a lot better on grass, and I just don't think there's anything in here that's very scary.
Yeah, I mean, both of them got one at Churchill. Neither one got bet. They were both probably out of their element going short on the dirt. Now they're stretching out, going long on the grass. So, yeah, I mean, you could do worse for some long shots like these.
Right, there you go. What'd you do in the Sycamore?
Sycamore, I have to look at Hermes, has Myra Mission for one Ian Wilkes over the Kentucky Downs hero from yesteryear, a credit with Highland Chief. I know that both Red Knight and Channel Maker and Arclow are on there. It's a heck of a renewal of this race.
Yeah.
But I thought that My Remission was kind of the now horse. He did everything but win against Gufo in the big Traverse Day race. So I think off that race. And, you know, Ian thought about maybe running in the Joe Hirsch last week, but he said, why ship all that way and let's just stay here. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if this would necessarily produce this race would produce the winner for the Breeders' Cup Turf. It's not a win and you're in. But, you know, it is the same distance and everything else. So we have had Sycamore winners run back in the Breeders' Cup, even though, what, it's 3 weeks and a day? So, yeah, 22 days.
Well, when Ian was with us, and, in fact, with the mention of Ian Wilkes, I'll remind everybody about Sunday. And, Marty, I imagine you've touched on this, too. Paul Jeremy, the blacksmith, the benefit on Sunday, that's after the races at McCarthy's Irish Bar, 117 Upper Street in Lexington. Wonderful silent auction items, and everything's going to go to help Paul Jeremy in recovering and dealing with the multiple myeloma diagnosis and treatment, and $10,000 a month alone for the chemo drugs that they're going to have to use to pay and to supplement their own insurance. So Sunday's the day. I wanted to remind everybody. Ian came on the other day for us. All right. Well,
all right.
There's the Friday action, and there's plenty else. The second level allowance is a fun group, and that starts the pick five. And there's a non-winners of two lifetime. You know, we should mention, Marty, that eighth race today, 6 furlongs, and you got a bunch of horses coming off 4, 5, 6, 8 month layoffs. That includes the favorite Strobe for Brad Cox. How about Mahamel coming back, who I think is a first time gelding? There's all kinds of interesting horses in here. There was somebody else. There was somebody unusual. Steve Asmussen has got a horse, Classic Moment, that I put on top at 20-1. This is a horse that very well may want a sprint, period. Hasn't been seen since last year's Sunland Derby. And I thought he had a bit of a look. And Gaffleone is suddenly the go-to guy for prices in the Asmussen barn.
Yeah, I've got Strobe in there. I mean, he was just so terrific on Derby Day this year, winning the finale. And
that's right. That's
got
right.
A 99 buyer, comes back. I'm sure Brad's, you know, taking his time with him and everything. So I think with the open air outside box, he's going to be tough to beat. A couple races before that, Steve, I noticed both me and Marcus have Strava as our best bet for Dallas Stewart, the horse who's run a couple of big ones before.
You both have him on as your best bet.
Yes, and he's the
what
second
about
choice.
That? What about Al? Jeez, what about the Al Stahl horse? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why God made the mutual windows.
There's also, you mentioned, that's another race where there's a horse coming back that is a little interesting to me. Make It Big. How about Make It Big for Pletcher 10-1 in the open air outside box where the air is fresh and clear?
I don't know. Let's go to tomorrow.
Go ahead. Talk about the Queen Elizabeth II. This didn't exactly come up a vintage running.
No, I was unaware until somebody poked me in the shoulder and said, you know, they're also having the Sands Point in New York. So that's why horses, a number of these invitees, they had a total of 16 on the list. Ideally, they want to run 10, and two or three of them from the Kentucky Downs race are running instead in New York. And Chad himself, you know, who's won, I think, four of these already, he's running McCulloch and Gina Romantica, and he is saving Dolce Zell, who was on the original list of invitees, for the Valley View, which is 2 weeks from today, so on the closing Friday of Keeneland. So anyway, it looks like McCulloch is a deserving favorite. I think that Nick has her even money on the line. I was very interested in New Year's Eve, who ran that ginormous race on Oaks Day and hasn't duplicated it yet. And Brendan Wall seems to think that turning back to the mile and an eighth and having a clear run might really do the trick for her. So I'm going for New Year's Eve in a mild upset.
All right. What about that big maiden group going as the seventh? Start the late pick four.
Race seven, I have at Worthington Ashcroft team leader, and Worthington being... Let me turn to it here. Worthington's a second-timer for Maker. Coming, a lot of these horses obviously are going, coming back from Kentucky Downs races. Might well have needed it. Was forwardly placed. So, you know, if she stands to benefit from that race, so I'm going to go with Gaffleone and Maker with Worthington.
Is that... hold on, let me take a peek. It just occurred to me. What? That's the seventh, right?
Yeah, on the grass, going
okay.
on.
Well, it's not all right. I wondered because, of course, Stacy Hancock is a Worthington.
Oh, okay.
But not. I guess not from Louisville. I guess. But I guess not. I guess that's not. You know, I thought that just popped in my head that maybe it was a, maybe there was a connection there somehow. But no. All right.
Yeah, my best bet.
Any other?
In Love. Yeah, In Love, the horse that Paulo Lobo chose not to run last week in the Coolmore, saved him for this allowance. Seems like the conditions really fit, and I'd like to see In Love get to the winner circle again at Keeneland.
Excellent, and then I haven't looked that far ahead, but if I'm not mistaken, what's the Sunday? What's the Sunday stake?
It's a tremendous renewal of the Franklin. They're no longer calling it the Franklin County. I don't know if that I missed that by a year or two or what, but I've been calling it the Franklin County. But it's the Franklin 300,000. It's got the best filly mare turf sprinters on this side of the Mississippi, and change of control for your girl, Michelle, and Caravelle for Cox. She's already won The mayor has already won 3 stakes this year for Brad. And then you have the wild card in the group is Twilight Gleaming, whose buyers don't seem to quite match up with these older fillies and mares. But nonetheless, Wes is going to try her here, maybe as a test run toward the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, in which he has all the cards. He has Golden Pal and Campanelle and Bound for Nowhere already. So Twilight Gleaming going to try to join the Ward contingent in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. It's a great renewal. Toby Fart, who will never owe me a dime, she's in there. Creative Credit and LZ to make the pace. They'll go really fast in this race, Steve.
Hmm. Nice. All right. I have not looked at Sunday yet. You do mention Golden Pal, and of course, Golden Pal, the Woodford on Friday. Any other thoughts, Marty, about what we saw last weekend on that topic? Annapolis, excuse me, the mild upset. You know, it was all Pletcher all the time, all weekend, winning the mile, winning the Breeders' Futurity, and then the Spinster with Malathat. Had a fun conversation with Catman about his 2 winners, Manny Wah on Friday, and the winner is on Sunday. Who else impressed? I didn't get a chance to get to Todd Fincher for a 3rd week in a row. Third weekend in a row. It's amazing. The Fincher team is on a major roll. I mean, they're going to have to survive the Heisa DQ when it comes to Sheriff Brown and the downs at Albuquerque Handicap. But what a nice sequence of stakes Saturdays for the Fincher team.
Yeah, it's a great story, you know, with the Senior Buscador and the ACAC and then Slammed winning the TCA. It's he's on quite a roll.
Yeah,
I invoked the name Pepper's Pride in my story about her. You know, she might well be the most accomplished New Mexico bred since Pepper's Pride. I went up and looked. I didn't realize she retired undefeated, 19 for 19.
Sure. We talked to Mr. Allen during that. We talked to Todd. Oh my gosh! There's three widely known New Mexico based trainers, right? Between
Joe Marr.
Joel Marr is who I'm thinking of, and Todd and Chip Willey.
Chip Willey, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah, they had the Make-A-Wish Day yesterday. It just breaks your heart seeing some of those things. And,
yeah.
I was down around the Winter Circle a lot for some odd reason yesterday, and Keeneland really does yeoman's work in terms of showcasing that. It's really a wonderful thing.
Very much so. Nice to bring it up. Well, Marty, any other movement as we look at your division, Breeders' Cup-wise?
Well, I've got the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Chad has confirmed the filly that ran 3rd, Raging Sea, and was DQ'd to 4th. And also Steve Asmussen this morning confirmed for me Grand Love, who was the beaten favorite, and the Pocahontas off that terrific maiden win. So he's gonna try her back. So he must be seeing good things from her. As far as the filly mare turf, we had the Frida Lopra winner bow out gracefully, but the 2nd and 3rd finishers come back there, and Brad Free has actually made them Nashua and Above the Curve. They're his 2 favorites on our line for the Breeders' Cup filly mare turf. Chad has 3 in there, including Rougier and in Italian, Virginia Joy. That's coming up a really good race. I'm thinking maybe they'll get a dozen or so for the filly and mare turf. So those are my 2 areas of responsibility as we get ever closer to the Breeders' Cup.
Outstanding. Marty, I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll check in. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, my man.
Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee, providing you the action from Keeneland. All right, we will stay here, and we'll actually probably continue on with quite a bit of Keeneland. Although I wonder if Shap looked a little bit at Santa Anita. It's a fairly quiet weekend out there. We talked a little bit yesterday about the Enochia, which of course was one of Landa Lucy's successes, and Mary Perdue and John White will be presenting the trophy. And again, I reiterate, I put this up on Twitter last night. Chance to meet John and Mary tomorrow and Sunday at Santa Anita. Champions, the fabulous shop that's right there on the walk between the paddock and the track apron. So meet them. And I know yesterday it was the deadline to enter. You know, didn't have a tremendous amount of time to send in your contest entry to join them in the winner's circle. Maybe, you know, who knows, maybe they'll have more than one. Really enjoyed that yesterday, even though it put us on our heels and made us late a little bit. Scott's going to join us, Shap, and Nick Luck. Did I say we're going to get Nick in? Not a long visit from Nick, but we are going to talk to him about the Champions Day action. All right, see if we get a couple of thoughts and maybe get a little more focus as to, you know, who will make their way, win or lose, over for Breeders' Cup as well. Speaking of Santa Anita, they got the Cal distaff tomorrow. Five-pack led by Legs Galore and Rose Dawson. And just by the name Rose Dawson, you know immediately that it's Nick Alexander. And named after the character in Titanic, in this case. Nobody pulls from history like Nick. Scott Shapiro joins us. And Shap, good morning.
Good morning. I love the way Nick names his horses, particularly some of the baseball greats that I used to get to look through my dad's baseball card collection of, you know, Pee Wee Reese and Moose Scour. There's been some great names.
Oh, he's the best. And I don't think Nick, it's funny, I don't think it was one of Nick's, but there was no better over the last, I don't know, 15 years than Kelly Leak.
Who that wasn't his, I don't think.
You know, I don't think so either. But there was so much fun, and was a nice horse. Was a stake horse, Kelly Leak.
I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, Michael Makowski.
Bad News Bears.
Mike
Makowski. There you go. Good job.
Yeah.
The Bad News Bears has been the original. Has been on the movie channels of late. The last two
great movie, man. Oh man,
it is so great. The Departed. You know who's underrated in there is Vic Morrow, who, for those of you of a certain age, how old are you, Shap?
48.
So you're not going to remember this at all.
I don't remember.
I'm
going to
pull this out. Combat. You ever watch Combat?
No, I have not.
Combat. Vic Morrow in Combat, just fabulous. You know, I can just see the whole. It's just amazing. The rat. There's also the Rat Patrol was another. You know,
I've heard of that.
I'm old enough, I guess, to remember when, you know, there were still things on like this about World War II. I mean, it was a series like those. It was pretty funny.
Right.
But Vic Morrow, I loved Vic Morrow, and of course was killed in that production, that horrible production accident, filming the Twilight Zone movie.
Oy.
Yeah. 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 Yep. But Kelly Leak, the Bad News Bears.
How we got there is awesome.
That's exactly right. Shap, what were you taken with? Let's get your weekend postscript going back to last week, because the preps are pretty much, I mean, obviously today the Sycamore is probably going to produce Mira Mission for the Breeders' Cup turf, but pretty much we're through the major domestic preps. What were you taken away with last week?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, first and foremost is, you know, looking way ahead to the Kentucky Derby and less ahead to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, something that obviously is a big part of my job. You know, watching both Cave Rock out west, who, man, oh, man, he's going to take some serious beating. But I thought Loggins and Forte put on pretty good effort over the track where they're going to be running next month. So it was the two-year-olds that I thought for the most part stole the show. And, you know, Cave Rock really didn't show anything on the racetrack that he wasn't going to be able to handle two turns. But, you know, the damn side of the pedigree, not necessarily two turns. And they just always have to pass that test before you know they're going to. But, man, he looks like a serious runner heading into the juvenile next week. So I'd say that's what stole the show most for me. I thought the mile was, you know, solid. The Keeneland mile, now it's called. But yeah, it was Cave Rock, Loggins, and Forte that are at the top of my head at the moment from last weekend.
Well, we'll talk to Jay Privman later. In fact, Jay is not obviously following like he would if he was riding. But the juvenile and the classic are the two divisions that he's actually keeping a closer tab on going in. So we'll get Jay's impressions, too, after the top of the hour. All right. Well,
one more.
Week.
Slam.
Go ahead.
I think I have to mention Slam, too, is a horse that
sure.
I was high on going into the race. And, man, I mean, very cool horse, New Mexico bred, just an absolute looker. Todd Fincher does a tremendous job. It's good to see him get the credit you know, he deserves with a couple of horses in Senor Buscador, and then now Slammed here in Kentucky. So just wanted to throw a quick shout out to Slammed.
Without question. And Fincher on a tremendous roll. In fact, I saw last night, early this morning, I was up early, and I saw from a couple of days ago, I guess, some celebrating going on. The New Mexico team celebrating getting to the Breeders' Cup with her. So
good for them. Good for them.
Well, it's great. I mean, the pitcher's going to have two. He's going to have two in there.
Yeah.
In the cup. So it's very cool.
No doubt about it.
We'll talk to him again. Yeah, we'll talk to him before the cup, because I promised him I thought we might have gotten him on this week, but the things flew by. All right. Well, what are we looking at?
I think tomorrow is a pretty fun card. Yeah, obviously it doesn't have the Keeneland. Doesn't have the you know, the loaded stakes action, like obviously like last week. But there's some bettable races, and I think there's one, a couple of them right off the rip tomorrow at 1 Eastern. In the opener, I like 2nd of July, 9-2 on the line for Kenny McPeak. You know, you would look at the pedigree and you look at the wins, you know, 2-2 for 8 on the turf. But I think this horse is better on the dirt and better when he's on the front end on the dirt. Was very impressed with him at Churchill. 4 back when he won, going the one turn mile, sitting just off the pace. And I thought he ran a couple of pretty good races after that. They moved him back to the turf. Now it appears spotted very realistically. It's a homebred for Brian Hilliard, so I'm not concerned about the drop in for 32. So I'm going to try to take him gate to wire in the opener with number 7, 2nd of July, with Brian Hernandez Jr. as usual riding for Kenny McPeak.
All right.
And then in the second, I thought this was wide open, this the first of two-turn maiden special weights going a mile over the turf for two-year-olds. A couple of interesting long shots here. One, a firster who I picked on top at number 4, Iron Crusader. I don't know what they saw at the sale, but for this horse, the pedigree to sell for $300,000 in March at OBS, extremely noteworthy. And Michelle Nehi doesn't win at a tremendously high percentage, but I always thought she does a very good job. She's got good numbers, first turf, 201 ROI, 54 recent starts. and 12% with two-year-old maiden special weight firsters, 355 ROI. And I don't see her get too many pricey purchases like this. So I'm gonna bet Iron Crusader. Hopefully, get close to the 15-1, if not higher. And then I know you noticed the pedigree on number 7, Joint Venture, son of Miz and Master Bernie Flynn out of the dam, Abbeville Mitt, who has been very productive, a 4-1 Mean Man and a 4-1 Miz Money, both well into the six figures in terms of earnings over the turf. So couple prices in a fun second.
Well, there's a nice double. So the 7-4 double, maybe the 7 with the 4-7. If you want to spread a little bit, all right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. And then we still have that promotion on Twin Spires every day, the daily double down at Keeneland, which if you hit a couple of them, you opt it in, you get up to the up to 50% bonus for every double you hit from there. So that's a good one to take advantage of. 50% bonus on that would be a pretty good one.
Yeah, say the least.
And then on this fifth, pretty fun $140,000 allowance event. You could argue it's a stakes race, basically. And I'm going to give Kentucky Ghost another shot. I've definitely given this one maybe one too many shots for Vicky Oliver, but I can forgive the last couple of efforts. The Grade 3 million at Kentucky Downs, that was dominated by front runners, some like at Hot Brown on the front end, a Tone who ran second, Stalking. So I can forgive that performance. And then the United Nations didn't really get persevered with that day under Florent Giroux, and probably a bit outclassed at the Grade 1 level at this point. But there's some speed in here with Mega City and Win From Within. And this one gets Lasix again, which should help. And I think he should be rolling late at 5-1. So I'll go with Kentucky Ghost in the fifth.
Kentucky Ghost. All right. We're swinging.
And love it. What's that?
Swing it for some nice prices.
Yeah, why not, right? Why not? We can bet a 3-1 or a 2-1 any day.
Well, exactly. And that's been, you know, to be honest, I said this to Marty, the multis have been very tough. And you cannot be shy here. If you're going to, take swings and look for a $3,000-$5,000 pop, you've absolutely got to include horses that have a sniff, because especially here, there are things to latch on to at Keeneland, particularly. For instance, I used somebody today. I'm trying to think about it. Let me just go to my tabs today. There was someone today who broke their maiden at Keeneland, is going to be double digits, is going to be 10-1 plus, maybe even more. Who the heck was this? Was it in that early? Not precursory. That I'm leaning.
Well, it's definitely a different track than, some other places, but...
Oh, you know who it is? In fact, Marty actually, it should have popped in my head when Marty mentioned a credit.
Okay.
It's 30-1 for Pavel Metka. And I understand why Nick, there had to be some prices in a field this size, but a credit broke his maiden here, and there's a lot to, there's a lot to recommend. We talk so often about the sand-based course and how it's not for everybody. For instance, Casa Creed. I talked to Lee during the week, and Lee said the reality may be that Keeneland is not his preferred turf course. That's three tries over the track, and he really hasn't produced there. And that is evidence about, what we talk about surfaces with horses. So, here's a horse that broke his maiden at Keeneland on a good course too, actually, which is notable. He's a horse that likes cutting the ground. He's always run well when there's a little give, and it is the fall season. So I'm using a credit at a big price in that Sycamore today.
Man, that is a tough race. I don't trust.
It's great.
Yeah, I don't trust the horse. I mean, Mira Mission, definitely deserving favorite off the, you know, the tough runner-up efforts in the two grade ones. I don't know if I necessarily trust him. I mean, Arklow hasn't been the same horse. Red Knight's been gritty, but, you know, hasn't posted the same numbers. I'm going to be spreading extremely deep in there as well, and I'm going to include credit based on your recommendation and the good point about the track and the courses we've given it. So, yeah, that's a tough race, a Sycamore today.
I like another mystery I'm using for Chris Block as well in there, 15-1.
Big prices, chance to bust out, yeah.
Yep, exactly. All right. Go ahead with the rest of your Saturday action.
Yeah, the 8th on Saturday. I like Ain't Broke in this $110,000 allowance event for the ladies going 6 furlongs, non-winners at 2. This Daughter of Dialed In was a very big steam horse back in Halloween of last year. Went off 3-1 in the finale on the Stars of Tomorrow 1 card on Halloween. And that was that turned out to be a very live group. Marissa's Lady won the race. Promises to Dance, who hasn't been the same horse this year, but was very good last year for Brad Cox, kind of got bumped at the start. Didn't really live up to billing. Did win the final race of her, first 5 races, which came in March at Fairgrounds, in an underwhelming effort. But Britt Calhoun has given her time. She appears to be training forward, and I don't see a lot of speed in here. So off the freshening with Ray Gutierrez aboard, I think they're going to get aggressive from the inside, and I think they can wire out this field at what should be a pretty good price in a pretty wide-open event. 4-1 on the morning line, should get at least 3-1, I would think. So I like Ain't Broke in the 8th, and then the QE2, which didn't come up as strong as in years past, which is interesting, and that's more a compliment on how it normally comes up than a knock on this year. I just usually these 3-year-old filly events, especially the end of the year like this one, draw a full field. I think it's a 2-horse race with the caveat that I don't know a lot about Paris Peacock, admittedly, on the outside. But I think McCulloch is a deserving favorite. But I like Bella Bell. There is no speed, Steve, in this race. And while it doesn't look like Bella Bell's necessarily speed because she's never been on the front end here, those races out in Southern California are they've just been way faster early than the races these other runners are coming out of here, either in Kentucky or in New York. And she's run really well. I mean, she finished 2nd to Spenderello, got the jump, losing nothing to defeat that day. And the other 2 efforts were very good, including the easy win in the San Clemente. So I'm going to lean on Bella Bell with respect to the favorite, McCulloch.
Interesting. And I certainly, we talk enough about Phil D'Amato and how good he is with these turf horses. I mean, the barn is, 80%+ probably on the grass side. So,
yep.
All right, Bella Bell, the 5.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, fun card. It's been a fun meet so far. Hopefully we can catch a good pick 5 over the next couple of days.
Excellent. Well, Shap, I appreciate it. And we will be, for next week, the next 2 weeks, we will be in full Breeders' Cup preparation mode. Really, 3 weeks because, there'll be the preparation toward the pre-entries on the 24th. And then there's all the information that comes flowing in anticipation, and then we'll go from there.
Sounds good. Look forward to it, and best of luck on Sunday night. Big game for the undefeated Eagles.
We're looking forward to it, even though I hate having to stay up Sunday, or Monday. I hate these.
Got to do it for this one.
What are you going to do? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Well, we'll have been coming home from Rochester. We got the big baby party, so we'll be exhausted because, you know, nobody parties like the baby.
Well, have a blast and enjoy your weekend. Good luck.
Shap, I appreciate it. Scott Shapiro, everybody. Scott Shap, 34 on your Twitter machine. And takes us pretty close to the top of the hour. Let me see if... Very good. Actually, Case, I'm going to call Nick myself. He just gave me the... the high sign. So I'll call Nick. Sometimes this is better just because the what happens is the mitigates the delay patch through the board, and it is always a delight and a pleasure and a treat and everything else. Other descriptions we can think of to have Nick Luck join us. Nick, good morning.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
We're great, and I threw this at you in the middle of the night. Thought that we should at least get a couple of minutes in with you in anticipation of tomorrow's Champions Day, and this has become a major spot on the calendar. How many years now? How long has this been run?
Well, interestingly, the first Champions Day, or the first incarnation of Champions Day, was actually run in 1997 at Newmarket. And that was when they put the good two-year-old race, the Champion Stakes, and the big handicap all together. And that was the creation of an ex-director of Newmarket called Peter Player. And then in 2010, Great British Racing and some of the race courses, Jockey Club race courses in Ascot, decided that they needed to have a more organized end-of-season finale in Britain, because France had the Arc Weekend and Breeders' Cup and Irish Champions Weekend was being formed. So they jigged a few races around between Newmarket and Ascot, and they created a multiple group grade one day at Ascot and called it British Champions Day. And the first running of that was then in 2011, and it got off to a notable start because Frankel was a runaway winner of the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes, the big mile race, and then the following year he won the British Champion Stakes over a mile and a quarter. So it really got a bit of impetus right off the break. It's had a more checkered history since then, but it's certainly become very much part of the autumn furniture in the UK and Europe.
Well, and it seems like every year there's a major story or a important horse or more than one. And the presence of Bayeed certainly has got people excited.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he's the most significant horse to have run on this card since Frankel. And, of course, the parallels are evident, because Bayeed won the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes last year. And he beat, at the time, what we believe to be the leading mile at Palace Pier. And time showed that Palace Pier was trying to do the impossible, beating Bayeed. And Bayeed comes back, having followed exactly the same campaign as Frankel did in his four-year-old career. He won the Lock-in Stakes at Newbury, he won the Queen Anne Stakes at Royal Ascot, he won the Sussex Stakes at Goodwood, he was then stepped up to a mile of the course for the first time at the Judmonts International at York. For both horses, their career-defining signature performances to date, and now he has to just win however he can in order to end his career undefeated. Now, to my eye, that's where the comparisons end, because Frankel is and always will be the best horse that I've ever seen in the flesh, because I'm not old enough to have seen Secretariat, and I haven't seen Flightline yet. But, as I say, that's where the comparisons end. And, of course, Frankel was a champion juvenile, but he never raced as a juvenile. But still, he's certainly the most significant horse to have graced this race since. And there are obviously parallels in the way they've been campaigned latterly.
I know he's trading at 1-5 essentially, but Adyar deserves some respect and some conversation.
Definitely, he deserves more than some conversation. He's a Derby winner, he's a King George winner, so he's got outstanding form at Ascot. His form dipped at the back end of his three-year-old career, which is understandable. He's a very big horse, he packed a lot in. He still ran very well in the Arc. He had them all stone cold two furlongs out, and then just got stuck in the bog and finished fourth. And then he was showing the effect of that when well beaten in tomorrow's race last year. But he's hardly had a run since. He's had one breeze, effectively, beating two rivals at Doncaster the other day. But he looked very good doing it, and they were quite good horses he dispatched as well. So he's fresh. He's talented. He comes from a red-hot stable in Charlie Appleby, who's been targeting this all year. And he's tactically uncomplicated, and it's very simple, the task for Adair. It's to make sure that this is a thorough test of stamina at the distance on softish ground for Baid, and to try and drag Baid into a place that he's not comfortable with. I doubt that he can, but it's quite simple, the task that he has to attempt to accomplish.
The Champion Stakes, which will go off at 11 o'clock Eastern time for those looking forward to tomorrow's Champions Day. We'll back up from the Champions. A quick note about the Queen Elizabeth, which goes at 10:20. And, of course, Modern Games' presence in here will interest North American audiences. However, he's no better than second choice in here behind Inspiral.
Well, his price might interest American audiences as well, and it interests me too, because when I last looked, Inspiral was 11-10 and Modern Games was 4-1. He's no more a 4-1 shot than Fly to the Moon. If there were a deluge tonight, well, he wouldn't run. But I think we're going to be spitting now, but I think we're basically going to be on yielding ground rather than very soft ground, particularly up the straight track at Ascot, which never gets that soft. And Modern Games is simply too good a horse on what he showed us at both at Woodbine last time and at Goodwood behind Baid before that to be four times bigger a price than Inspiral, however talented she is and however much weight he has to give her because she's younger and she's a filly. I accept that Inspiral is very good, but I think Modern Games is too big a price based on the balance of their achievements so far.
Well, the Modern Games, of course, his exploits have been followed since last year's disastrous situation.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone knows, you know, irrespective of that Parry Mutuel screw up last year, everybody knows how good he is based on that performance and what he did in Canada. And the intriguing thing, I think, for a transatlantic audience is to what extent a hard race tomorrow, or any race of any significance tomorrow, is going to take the edge off his chance for the Breeders' Cup, for which, you know, if you're pricing that race up now, the Breeders' Cup mile, he would be a pretty heavy favourite. So I'm hoping that's not the case, and he certainly packed plenty in the fall last year and thrived on it, so it'll be interesting to see. The other interesting dimension to tomorrow's racing is the battle for the Trainers' Championship in Great Britain, which, although it officially dribbles on until Christmas, ought to be decided based on the amount of prize money on offer. And there's only, you know, a couple hundred grand in it between Charlie Appleby and William Haggis at the moment. Haggis trains Baid and two others in the Champion Stakes. Appleby has Modern Games and Adair, and the favourite for the sprint race as well in Creative Force. Haggis has the favourite in the Filly and Mare race as well. So that's going to be an interesting subplot to tomorrow's racing.
I'm glad you mentioned it. And we'll talk about the Filly and Mares in a moment, which basically right now, Emily Upjohn and Eternal Pearl are basically on par in terms of the betting shop offers. But I did want to ask you, you bring up the mile, Nick. What's our impression of Kinross, Rafe Beckett's Prix de Forêt winner?
Well, this is it. So as far as Breeders' Cup miles concerned, you've got Modern Games, who runs in the mile race tomorrow, the Queen is for the second. And then you've got Kinross, who's been running mainly over 7 furlongs and has been doing very well. He comes back in distance tomorrow for the 6 furlong, the 6-8 sprint, the Kipco British Champion sprint. I think it's a good spot for him. Yeah, he's arguably better at 7, but it's a stiff 6 at Ascot. He likes cutting the ground. He's been very impressive the last 3 times. And although a quick reading of his form suggests he's not as good over 6 as he is at 7, he's a better horse now than he was last time he tried 6. And I think he should probably be favourite. He's pretty talented. And it'll be interesting to see whether they do then want to stretch him out to the Breeders' Cup mile after this.
Well, and since we brought this up, and he is participating in that sprint tomorrow, let's skip off over the Filly and Mares for a minute and talk about that race, because Kinross, Art Power, Rohan, Creative Force, they're all basically what, 4-1, 9-2.
Yeah, and there's a lot of horses here who've got a provisional berth on the plane for Breeders' Cup as well. You mentioned Kinross for the mile. There's also horses like Naval Crown, Creative Pull. So I think they could be multiple entered for Breeders' Cup races, either turf sprint or mile. There's Art Power, who I think you could find in the turf sprint. Pretty good horse. So I think this race might have a bit of a bearing on those.
Yeah, we lost you there just a little bit, but we'll watch it. Do you prefer anybody in that group, in that sprint, or a price?
I think Kinross. He's about 11-2. I think that's a pretty good price.
All right, very good. 11-2 at Bet Victor. Actually, just looking at the board, also at Betfred and at Boyle Sports. So there you can get that. Pretty readily. All right, let's go back for a second and talk about the two principals in the filly and mare, and that's going to go at 9:40 Eastern time. And Emily Upjohn and Eternal Pearl, and really C. La Rosa not far off these, nor is Mimikyu.
Well, to some extent, Emily Upjohn is still resting on her achievements from early in the campaign. She was very disappointing in the King George. She pulled too hard. They put a hood on her tomorrow to try and settle her. It would have been a very difficult decision for Frank John and Mimikyu, who's more of the coming force from the Gosden stable. There's a couple... can you still hear me, Steve? Because I'm in a bad area now.
No, you're good, actually. You're better now than you were.
All right. There's a couple I like in here who are slightly bigger prices. One of them is a filly called Stay Alert, who beat Older Males in a stakes race at Newbury last time, and she did it really cheekily. She got locked up for a bit of room, and she got out very late, and then really quick and smartly. First, that was the first time David Egan had ridden her, and I think she's quite good. And the other one I'm interested in is Ross Carberry, who travelled really smartly behind the brilliant Kiprios in the Irish Ledger last time. That was over 14 furlongs. Cutting back to a mile and a half, she'll be much more comfortable. Yeah, she's actually won races over 10 this season, so she's not short of a bit of speed, and I can see her running a very big race for Paddy Toomey.
Nice. Stay Alert, the 14, and is trading mostly at about 12-1. Rose Carberry is the 5 and is generally 14-1. So you've got like the fifth and seventh choices, seventh and eighth choices, ninth choice, give or take.
Yeah, they're both too big. They're both too big, I think. The really interesting runner again is this poor old Very Elegant, the brilliant Australian mare who won the Melbourne Cup. Her flurry of runs in Europe since she was brought over here to be trained have been rather undistinguished, but I think there are reasons for thinking that a mile and a half run at a strong gallop, where she's got a little bit more room to manoeuvre and it's not a messy race tactically, she might run a bit better. It'd be good to see her show her true colours.
Well, they were bitterly disappointed not to be able to run in the Arc.
Well, to be honest, she'd have been lapped in the Arc given how she ran in the Prix de Roye earlier on the same weekend. But this does look like the right sort of race for her to me. She's obviously quite idiosyncratic and needs a bit of knowing. And it was a very bold experiment what they decided to do, but it just hasn't worked. But I unlike some of my colleagues, I take zero Schadenfreude here. I think it would just be great for the sport if she were to run really well.
The Melbourne Cup winner, Very Elegant. And, Nick, the two, oh, I don't want to call them gimmick races, but the opener and the end of the card. The opener is the distance race. A couple of names that are probably familiar, like Trushan. Then there's a mile handicap, in essence, the Balmoral, that finishes things off.
Yeah, this was the race 2 years ago in which Trushan really announced himself as a stayer of a serious caliber, and no one could quite believe what he did, and he's confirmed it more than once since. My worry with him is that he had a quite hard race behind Kiprio Canavarius in the Goodwood Cup, and then when he went to Doncaster in a race he should have won, he kind of contrived to lose it in a slightly ugly way, and he wavered late. And I just wondered whether two big efforts had slightly left their mark. Conditions are in his favour, but at short odds, I'd be looking elsewhere. The horse of Aidan O'Brien's Waterville is probably quite talented, but he took all day to win a handicap last time. He looks quite slow, even for a race of this nature. A quick thought, I think, is the overpriced one. He got stuck in that bog behind Kyprios on Art Weekend, but frankly, I think you could excuse any horse that. And the fact that he's with a trainer who wouldn't be the sort to just run a horse if he didn't think they were absolutely A1. And he must feel that he's got over those exertions. And if he has, he's too big at 12. No, he's too talented. He's broken two track records this season.
And any thoughts? Looks like the market is wide open when it comes to the nightcap. That Balmoral, everybody's 7, 8, 10, 12 to 1.
Yeah, well, they've all got them, and they've all got their chance. They're pretty horses we know quite a lot about. I always, in races like this, you think, right, well, is there a horse in this race that could still be improving? They're all well found by the handicapper, and the one that might still have a little bit more to offer is Migration. It could end up being a perfect way for champion jockey elect, and the jockey championship does confusingly end tomorrow, but that's not close. William Buick's, I don't know, 60 in front or whatever, so he's going to be champion jockey, and he might win the last race on Migration.
All right, we'll take it. Currently about 8-1. And Nick, I'm going to throw you a slight curveball because I don't know how familiar you'll be with either of these horses, but there are a pair of imports that have made their way over for tomorrow for the Grand National. Hewick, a virtual 7-year-old coming out of a unplaced effort at Listowel. Lost the jock, Gainford, who does come to ride, but previously won a decent group race at Galway.
He's a pretty good horse, Hewitt. He won the big chase at Sandown in April, the Bet 365, and then he won the race at Galway, the Galway Plate. So that's a very notable double. To defy the assessor to win both of those races is quite something. And as you say, the run at Listowel, when he fell at the last in the Kerry National, went upside and giving a ton of weight to the horse he was about to beat. That's a huge performance on the figures. So if he adapts to the track and the style of racing, he's quite a classy horse. And he won't mind the ground either, so he certainly warrants a bit of respect. Remind me who the other one is?
The other one is Global Citizen, a 10-year-old for Ben Pauling.
Yeah, he's a bit of an enigma, Global Citizen. He ran badly last time, but I think there are excuses. He sprung back to life when making all the running to win at the Cheltenham Festival this year. He was a very, very good hurdler in his youth. He's been plagued by breathing problems, but as long as he can breathe and he gets into a nice rhythm, he could be quite effective in the States, because he's got lots and lots of speed. He's a very, very fast horse, for example. And I'd imagine he'll be right. He's really pretty one-dimensional tactically. He's got, you know, two ways of going, fast and very fast.
Interesting. Global Citizen.
And how far is that race, Steve?
Two and five, I think, right? 2 5/8.
Yeah, you see, to my mind, that would be just stretching Global Citizen, stamina-wise. And it would just be on the sharp side for Hewitt.
Well, that is valuable insight, and I'm not surprised that you handled that with aplomb. Nick, what is your schedule after this weekend? When do we get to see you?
Right, it's Champions Day tomorrow, and then I'm somewhere next weekend, but frankly, I can't honestly remember where. Maybe Newbury, and then I getting on a plane on Monday, the 20, whatever it is, 3rd or 4th. And I'm flying via Doha to Melbourne, and I will be in Melbourne through the Derby and for the Melbourne Cup. And then I'll be between times speaking at the Carbine Club. And then after the Melbourne Cup, which I'm hosting the international broadcast for, I will get on a plane the next morning on Wednesday morning, and I will arrive in Los Angeles before I took off because I crossed the date line. And then if United Airlines don't lose my luggage, I will get on a flight to Charlotte and then on a connector to Lexington. And the plan is that I will land in Lexington on Wednesday night and then be Breeders' Cup ready for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And if that bag comes off the carousel at Bluegrass Airport, I will, in my state of complete delirium, dance a little jig.
That's great.
It's very, 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 very generous of both the Breeders' Cup and NBC to let me try and do this. And my NBC producer, Lindsay Shanza, said to me, "It's okay, I trust you. I'm sure you won't screw this up." So, of course, much of this is out of my hands.
Yes.
But anyway, that's what I'm hoping for, Steve.
So we will see you we will see you. You'll be a little bleary-eyed, but we will see you by ideally by Thursday. Wow! So because,
and of course, I've only just come back, so I've got no idea what the time is. So it doesn't really matter if you text me in the middle of the night, because I don't know. Because I could be anywhere.
I'm glad I asked and got the lay of the land, because we may have to have more of a pre-entry conversation with you the way this sounds, because I don't sense that we're going to have much of an opportunity Breeders' Cup week
You might be surprised. Just stay in contact. I think there could be as many as. I don't want to go overboard, but I think there might be north of 40 and somewhere close to 50 European horses running the Breeders' Cup.
Unbelievable! Wow. If that we better dig in and be prepared, because that'll absolutely require plenty of careful study and as much valuable insight as we can muster. So, Nick. I appreciate this. Enjoy tomorrow, and we will begin to really get a feel for how the cup fields are going to shape. And I'm envious. The Melbourne Cup on my list, something I absolutely want to see before I'm through. So enjoy it. Be careful, and we will talk soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve.
Always great. Nick Luck, everybody. And
thank you.
Nick's travels are, I mean, that's a scary sequence to put together. When he said Melbourne Cup, I thought, wait a minute. How's he going to get to Kentucky? Unbelievable. Because, first Tuesday in November is the race that stops a nation. We're going to stop the show for a break. We come back. Jay Privman is going to join us. And he's going to be relaxed and got his feet up. He's tan. Right? All those things. The new leisure style. Jay Privman. In addition to Jay, Scully, not too far off as well. Get James's plays, and of course we're all gonna cheer and yell huzzah for Scully, who provided us with Manny Wah last week. All of you that cashed, and there were no small amount. A lot of people took advantage. Matty Wah last week. You know, nicely reasoned. Nick Tamaro, as well as Hammer, and Papa. All right? So just a little less than halfway through. And I don't know if we have to play till the end. I think we can probably we can call it right here and slip out. Back after this, it's Twin Spires weekend preview at the races. Sirius XM back tomorrow, of course, on the replay, 5 to 8 a.m. if you miss anything today as well. I don't remind that. I don't remind enough of that. I should. I should do better that way. Also, let me also mention what's going on in New York. We'll talk about it with Nick. But don't forget, you got the TV coverage of Far Hills as part of America's Day at the Races. But the Road to the Cup does potentially continue for the fillies that are partaking in the Sands Point. Pizza Bianca comes back. Last seen winning at Pimlico. I'm in Victor, off the Lake George win as well. So, the Sands Point in New York, which we'll talk about with Nick, but the Far Hills action, Greg Wolf anchoring the show from Aqueduct, and Acacia and Mig across the river. Not just across the river, but also down the road a little. It's not like Far Hills is, you know, next to Jersey City. So, tune in. America's Day at the Races. All the info's at NYRA.com. And should be fun tomorrow. We got the baby party, so I'm going to be watching on the phone and taking guff from Tina. Back after this, Jay Privman.
It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? NYRA Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with NYRA Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NYRABets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.